actually add that the second speaker is actually Stephen Langella, who's been answering a lot of the questions so far, who'll actually be presenting the second half of this, which is sort of some of the more complex issues of grid security. The Ohio State and CA Grid team have actually worked with that for many years and have solutions, which we've talked about a bit, but it's sort of the answer to a lot of the hard questions people usually ask is look to Guards or CA Grid has done that, so we're grateful to have them here speaking. I also want to start out that, you know, Dave, great presentation, actually introduces one of the reasons why PH Grid has been able to sort of build services quickly and update them quickly and work with our partners. So if Introduce wasn't there, we'd have a lot less stuff to show. So, am I into the mic? Okay. So the idea is we're going to go through, you know, typical security characteristics. I'll blow through this because there's probably, actually this audience might be 5 or 10 people who will like it, but it's really dry. You can look in the notes of the presentation and it discusses non-repudiation and stuff like that, but I'm going to go through it quickly here for my own sanity. After that, we'll talk about sort of the details of different grids and how they're going to work together. So rather than trying to get everyone on the same grid, it's okay there are different grids. That's perfectly natural and we actually encourage that. Then we'll go into what PH Grid specifically does to get security working. So a lot of times partners ask, you know, what can I do to get my node working? What can I do to share data? More importantly, what can I do to suck data in and reuse it from others? This is going to go into the physical steps to do that. Then we're going to talk about sort of the future security considerations we've taken, and then I'll hand it off to Mr. Langella, who will tell us interesting, cool stuff about Guards and other components. So like I said, I'm going to kind of whiz through this quickly because one of the challenges that PH Grid had was sort of figuring out what the necessary level of security is. And security is a many-faceted beast or wonder, depending on how you look at it. But there's a lot of details in here that we've gone through, and it's published on the wiki and the blog if you want to get the nitty-gritty. But the idea is we were sort of able to get to where we are now because we reused what Finn had done. So one of the big advantages that we had is Finn had actually gone through security certification processes and built these components within FinMS and SDN, which dealt with identity proofing and dealt with, you know, confidentiality and dealt with privacy, and the ability for Finn to leverage this into PH Grid basically cut years off the amount of work. So that was a huge benefit. Also, other federal agencies have been through this. So NIH, of course, has CA Big. They've gone through their own CNA certification accreditation process at HHS's, you know, sister optiv, NIH. And also NIST had put out a lot of documentation, a lot of materials around secure web services. So the idea that we were using these secure web services wasn't novel. We were able to leverage this great work done by NIST, done by NIH, done by others within the private sector to, you know, bring us through security safe and sound with users able to access data. Another big piece that happened is there was a set of Finn public health requirements that really drove what level of security that you needed. So a lot of times you get drilled into it, you have to have 24/7, you have to have level 4 secure data, you have to have iris scanners. You do if you're dealing with extremely sensitive data. So if you're dealing with HIV data that's tied to, you know, presidential candidates, that's super important. Which there's not, that's an example. But if you're dealing with summary data that's not tied to individual, it's not even tied to a particular, you know, geolocation grid, it's tied to a state or a county or a ZIP3, then that is a different security level. So one of the things that we focused on is, although, you know, there's high security, there's medium security, and there's low security, the initial public health use case, much of the time, deals with low data. So it deals with doing counts, or even it deals with cases which have PII data, but it's not sensitive or extremely sensitive public health information tied to an individual. It's just a case count for whether you have salmonella, which is sensitive data, but that usually falls into the medium or maybe medium high, not high or super high, which was extremely helpful for us because at first we thought we were going to have, you know, super high data, so everything that flowed over the grid was, you know, multi-factor authentication, 2, 3. It got to the initial use case, biosurveillance, for example, was even arguably if it was low or not. I mean, some of the data is actually publicly accessible. If you look at sort of the flu trends that CDC publishes, you can go to cdc.gov and get that without logging in at all. So the data that we're focusing on now is low. So it gets a gold star because that's really the focus of the initial PH Grid release is, you know, low security is still security, but it's many, many factors of effort lower. We actually have a document which is collaboratively developed that's out there on the blog, on the wiki, that you can read. It went through a couple rounds of feedback and input last fall, and it's sort of driven all of this next batch of stuff. So when you go through a security audit, you're asked sort of many, many questions, very important questions on very important security characteristics. We kind of ticked through each one of these. Some of them we were able to get over because, you know, Finn had addressed it earlier. Some of them were novel. Some we were able to draw on partners at Argonne and see a grid to answer. But the idea is sort of each one of these were ticked off to the level that PhGrid passed. And when I say passed, it's sort of a very concrete CDC certification and accreditation process, which there's reams of documentation on, but I'm not making a judgment that this is secure. I'm just noting it as passed CDC certification and accreditation process. This is the slide that has about 10 pages of notes. So if you're looking at it digitally, you can see a lot more detail into what availability actually means, what data integrity means. One of the big pieces of PhGrid and grids in general is trust. So the idea is you have certificate authorities, which PhGrid actually has sort of a little research one, which isn't the real one that's issued, which nodes can trust. There are partner certificate authorities, like Essence and Rods and others, who we also trust. And then there are guys out there you don't trust. They're generating certs. Those certs are cryptographically strong. They're fine. We just don't trust them. You can enter agreements to trust each other. And then, you know, the red line goes away and you can actually access them. So the idea is this is simple on this slide, but in reality, it's extremely complex. This is one of the things that Stephen will touch on because there's a lot of tools out there. And actually, Rich's talk later goes into some of these specific pieces that they used, which alleviate some of these role management, access to services, access to data fields. So I mentioned earlier that it's okay to have different grids. So, you know, nobody is going to get everyone to join one network. I know in the past it's sort of getting everyone to join Finn, and then you hear about EPA, there's Exchange Network, you hear about NHIN. There are these other networks out there which are collecting users and working on their domains, and that's fine, it makes sense, because CA Biggs focusing on cancer research. You have NHIN, which is focusing on EMRs and EHRs. You have PhGrid, which is focusing on population surveillance. You have regional collaborative grids. You have a whole lot of grids out there that are focusing on different domains. And it's fine, because as long as we adhere to the same set of security standards, then you can actually create trust relationships and recognize users from those other grids without forcing them to officially join your grid. So you can trust users from other grids, and that's fine. Because no one's ever going to join one network. It's sort of the idea of you end up with 10 different passwords or 10 different RSA secure ID dongles hanging off your lanyard. We're trying to avoid that. So CDC actually has a PhGrid node, which has passed that CNA process. And sort of this is the configuration of it. Globus itself has a lot of security tools. And what CDC has actually done is leverage the existing Finn security pieces for authentication, authorization, and SDN. So whenever you come into a CDC node, you're actually hitting SDN, you're having a CDC-issued cert, which CDC trusts, and you're either getting in or you're getting out if you have the PhGrid activity. Out there on partner nodes, though, it's up to those partner configurations. So if it's CDC going out to a partner, it depends on how that partner's configured security. So they could actually use Globus standalone, they could use Guards, they could use their own instance of SDN. It really depends on how that partner chooses to secure, and then whether or not CDC finds that acceptable enough to connect to. So some of the specific steps. If you want to be a partner node, which means you want to share data, you want to publish data, then you install a node. And sort of the session this morning talked about the details of how you install a node, how much it costs, how much time it takes. So you can refer back to that if you want to know how much it costs. You can refer to the wiki if you want to get really detailed steps. Basically, it involves here installing a WS Core, which is 100% Java. It's basically an unzip. You request certificates from whatever grid you're going to join. So that could be PhGrid, it could be a partner. You configure which other grids you trust. So it's basically which CAs do you recognize users from. And then you pull down your services. So right now there's really only a few, actually I shouldn't say a few, there's 27 services in the registry. You pick which ones you want, you install them into your node. Installing basically is a gar file and a few batch commands. And then you configure the privileges of who can actually call that service. So who do you trust, what services do you want, and then what users from those trusts do you want to allow? If you're a user, it's a lot easier. So you basically just install Java onto your machine, you ask for a certificate for the user, you get your trust configured on your local workstation, and then you install your applications. So your applications could be Grid Viewer. You actually have some apps that are grid enabled, like Rods, you have Cloud Aegis, you have a lot of apps out there that are aware of grid. So this screen cap is actually sort of, once you get your certificate and you dump out the information, bless you, this is what you would see right before you successfully call a service. If you don't see this, it means you don't have a valid proxy, or it's not the right number of bits, or it's expired, or something along those lines. So if you don't see this box, then you're in trouble. So this slide actually came from our wiki it built earlier this spring. It's had a lot of input into it, and you'll probably see it in a few more presentations. But the idea is sort of this is the conceptual architecture for Grid, and the future is this middle stuff. So right now, the edges are actually configured depending on how the partner wants to set up, depending on CDC sets up. But the middle is going to be where the future work is done. That's how do you manage roles for public health? How do you pick which certificate authorities you're going to trust, which ones are good, which ones are bad? How do you manage the social relationships of who gets added to which services within the grid? So the idea is sort of some of these components are what Ohio State and CA Grid have been working on, specifically around role management, around easing the pain of managing certificates and managing user credentials and stuff. So at this point, I'm going to hand it over to Stephen Langella, and I'm going to sit down until it's question time. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. So I want to share with you some of the work we've been doing at Ohio State that's really been geared toward the CA Big program that we've been that we think would help the public health grid, and we've been working with Brian and his team to not only try to get them to adopt this and to use it, but also to more importantly give us use cases back to give us some information on how we can improve this. So the name of our infrastructure is called Guards, and it's basically an infrastructure that provides high-level services and tools to make security a lot easier in the grid. So everything that we did in this infrastructure was, you know, us as developers taking a look at, you know, security at a low level and trying to make it easier for our developers that will be using our middleware, and most importantly for the end users that would be interacting with the grid. So most of Guards focuses on resolving some of the complexities on securing a web service environment with a public key infrastructure. All users, and Brian touched on this, are required to have a certificate, which consists of a private key and a certificate which act as their credential, and that's issued by a CA to interact with web services in the grid environment. So provisioning this in a large national infrastructure is very difficult because you have to generate these things and then you have to send them off to a CA to be signed and then distribute them out. So distributing them securely and managing all of the sort of administrative tasks and doing all that and maintaining who's who and who has what credential and when it expires and all those issues is very difficult. But it also has a bunch of mobility and usability issues for a user. Most users today aren't used to having these credentials that they would have to, you know, which are essentially contained in files that they would have to bring from machine to machine with them. And most users generally work on one computer. And having this a certificate and private key contained in a file that they have to import into every web browser or every application they use is difficult and sort of annoying for the user. And copying that information around, you know, those credentials around could lead to security holes in the infrastructure if they're not cleaning them up. The most important about this is the identity vetting. And when you talk about getting into higher levels of security, as, you know, described by NIST, identity vetting becomes a extremely important piece of the security equation. And how you coordinate this in a large distributed network, especially when in-person identity vetting is required for obtaining credentials, is really complicated. So one of the questions that we asked is, why can't we just make the grid, infuse the grid with all the other existing systems today that are already handing out credentials? Meaning, if I have a credential at Ohio State or at the CDC, and I use that every day, why can't I just use that in the grid and everything else be seamless? So that was one of the motivating use cases which drove us to develop the system called Dorian. And Dorian's basically a federated identity management solution which enables single sign-on in a web services or grid environment. And it basically is a certificate authority. It issues user credentials to users and host certificates to services that are used for authentication in a web services environment. One of the fundamental features of Dorian is it removes PKI complexities by leveraging existing user account information. So from the user's perspective, there's this, they just use their traditional credentials, whether it's a RSA token or a or a username and password to access any resource in the grid, and all this PKI stuff is handled by Dorian and the underlying grid infrastructure. For those that don't have credentials with an organization or existing identity provider, Dorian has a built-in one which can issue you a username and password account, so you can sort of jump into this whole environment seamlessly. So the other key piece to this infrastructure in sort of making Dorian work is the authentication service. So if we're going to tie in existing credential providers that are distributed around the country, we need a common way of talking to all of them. And we need to be able to integrate any existing credential provider seamlessly into our environment without needing to necessarily focus on the back-end technology. So the authentication service is our way of doing that, where we run one of these at an institution that wants to leverage their existing credentials in the grid. They operate one of these, it ties in their identity provider, it's trusted by Dorian, and through a bunch of technical details that I won't get into, but you can find more information on our webpage, you're seamlessly integrated into the grid as a user, where you use your username and password at your institution, and under the hood you're using a PKI credential that was issued to you to access secure grid resources. Another big piece of the puzzle is, Brian talked about this as well, is determining what certificate authorities that we trust in the grid to accept credentials from. Anybody that's worked, in administrating grid services and setting up grid services knows what a hassle this actually is. It sounds like a simple problem, but every client and every service that operate in your environment has to maintain a list of certificate authorities that it trusts. One of the most common problems in terms of setting up services and clients, trying to use secure services is trust problems in the security model, meaning you have a credential, your environment's not configured to trust the set of trusted certificate authorities, and debugging that, takes, hours of your time. Not to mention, certificate authorities often have CRLs, which contain the list of revoked certificates. So making sure that list is always up to date on each client and on the server side is important for the overall security of the environment. So the GTS is a system that automatically does this. It pushes out, it maintains a list of all the certificate authorities that you trust in your grid or in other grids. And it pushes them out to your clients and your services. So you no longer need to worry about configuring your environment for the trusted certificate authorities. You simply say, I want to use the GTS, and it deals with all that stuff. One of the more important features of the GTS is this definition of levels of assurance, and it basically allows you to define a level of varying levels of assurance for certificate authorities, and then you can associate each certificate authority with the levels of assurance that it meets. And what this allows is you to have several certificate authorities with varying levels of security, and then service providers and clients can then decide, based on the data they're sharing, what are the requirements in terms of credentials and stuff. And you can say, if you look at the NIST guidelines, which define level 1 through level 4, level 1 being sort of the low end and level 4 being the extreme high end, you can say, I need a level 3 or higher. And you can make claims like that. And then, the underlying infrastructure will make sure that the certificate authorities that meet that assurance are provisioned to your services and users. And another feature is that the GTS can be federated in the sense that if CA Big's running a GTS and PH Grid's running a GTS, we can join them together and based on levels of assurance and start building these intergrid trust relationships, which allow us to cross the security boundaries of grid, making the grid in terms of securities cross grids truly interoperable. Another piece of the Guard's infrastructure that we provide is authorization tooling. Our general philosophy around authorization is we want to give the service providers complete control of their access control policy. But we do provide tools for helping them do that. So service providers can integrate their services with any authorization or access control system that they want. And Dave talked about this in introduce through our PDP system. But we do provide a set of tools that can help you do this. One is Grid Grouper, which is actually built on top of a Internet 2 product called Grouper, and it's a group management service and allows you to create a hierarchical organization of groups. You can use that to organize, people and do access control based on that. And the other one is CSM, which is traditional access control system. I'm going to skip this in interest of time. I just wanted to point out that we also have a full UI for administrating all this. I just wanted to run through a quick example of how Guards kind of all fits together within a real environment. So basically, it starts with you an application needing to talk to secure grid services. So a user using this application might be asked to log in. Basically, they select the authority that they want a credential from. That's a certificate authority, Dorian, and they select their organization. And based on what that organization requires for credentials, they'll be prompted for them. In this case, OSU uses username and password. They'll be prompted for them. That will be sent directly to OSU, authentication service, which I talked about. An assertion will be sent back signed by that authentication service, and that will be given to Dorian. If Dorian trusts that credential provider and there's a relationship stood up, it will issue a grid credential or a PKI credential, which then is used to invoke the secure grid service. Upon receiving that credential, that service will make sure that is issued by a certificate authority, that it trusts, that's registered in the GTS. Assuming that's okay, it will then enforce the access control policy, which could be, CSM or Grid Grouper. So that's sort of an overview of Guards at a high level. I believe this is the summary slide for our presentation. Do you want to go over this, Brian, or do you want me to? Yeah, so this is just links, more information. The PH Grid Wiki is an excellent, lots of information on the PH Grid stuff. Actually, the blog is great in terms of there's a real interactive community of people participating in the public health grid. More information on CA Grid and Guards can be found on the CA Grid Wiki and just some additional stuff. So, questions?
We have questions for Brian or Steve.
The user certificates are generated dynamically and are short term, so you'll have an identity that's always associated with you.
So that implies that the certificate authority in that case is not one of the commercial ones, but one that's located within.
Correct. Yes, no. It can be a commercial certificate authority. So Dorian can be configured to use a commercial certificate authority, but it has to have access to the signing key. So if your institution has their own VeriSign certificate authority, that's rooted by VeriSign's root, then yes, you could be issuing short-term VeriSign credentials. Yeah. But the host credentials are actually long-term, configurable based on the deployment policy.
Yeah, that's what I thought, that for the initial PH Grid piece, it actually is issued by CDC, has a VeriSign reissuance policy. And so for this phase, phase one or alpha or whatever it's called, you're getting an SDN cert, which is really a VeriSign issued certificate, which is a year term. But it has several limitations, like Stephen pointed out, that you know, there's a lot of benefit in being able to issue one-time passes or you know, certain hour windows instead of having to get one cert, which then if you change goes on a CRL and lasts a year, and there are cost issues as well. But for now, just for sort of the reasons you pointed out, we're using existing CA relationships that CDC has. So to borrow a line from John Sinn, this is where I get to play my contractor consultant hat and refer to Dr. Savelle. But there is some activity from a federal bridge standpoint, but for CDC policy, I don't see the SOs here, but do you want to make a statement, Tom, or? Or recognizing other CAs. Yeah. So one can dream.
Thank you, Brian.